Thank you for joining us. We pray that as you listen today, that you are encouraged and inspired, and we would love for you to connect with us on social media. Now here's today's message.
Heard of, so I won't even mention his name, but the other is someone that we all are familiar with, Bishop T.D. Jakes. And I love to hear Bishop Jakes because he thinks in a way that most do not think, but I also love to hear him because of some of the things that he just drops out there that just have changed my life. And this is one of them. He said, most preachers preach way too much revelation and inspiration, but not enough application. Meaning that we amen it on Wednesday, and then we wake up on Thursday and say, that was a great word last night, but I don't know how to apply that to my family, my job, what I'm going through. I believe I'm going to give something tonight that is going to be not only revelation, but there's going to be some great practical application. To get us where we are today, Matthew chapter 14, the account of Jesus feeding 5,000 men and their families is recorded in all four Gospels, but we are lifting ours out of Matthew chapter 14. Last session, we talked in verse 16 that Jesus has already been out all day long, and he's been ministering, not only teaching, but he's been healing the sick, he's been casting out devils. He's been teaching and encouraging and inspiring, and I'm sure encouraging people to follow him and to believe in him, as the scriptures have said. But the time now has come where people are getting hungry. You know, you can follow Jesus and be so in tune with what he's doing spiritually that you don't take care of yourself physically. Bishop tells a story of a woman who came to him many years ago and said, Pastor Fender, she said, I quit my job and I'm going to pray 8 hours a day. And Bishop said, I hope that was God telling you that, because your bills are going to keep on coming and your bills are not going to take prayers as payment. And Bishop, because we balance the practical and the spiritual, Bishop said, I encourage you to go back and get your job and then show up here a few hours every day, or at your house, pray 8 hours. There's 24 hours. You can still work 40 hours a week and still pray 40 hours a week. I can't remember how that story ended, but I do know that she did go back and get her job. And so the practicality of ministry, and now the disciples come and tell him, everybody's hungry and we need to let them go back into the cities that they came from, so that they can be filled and take their eat. This is what Jesus said in verse 16. They do not need to leave. Feed them. He said, if there is a need, you as my disciples, I am giving you authority and dominion to make sure that need is met. Can I just encourage you from the onset of tonight that if you have a need in your life, as a believer and a follower of Jesus Christ, as his disciples, we have been given authority, we have been given power, we have been, and it doesn't matter if it's spiritual, doesn't matter if it's relational, doesn't matter if it's physical, financial, we have been given the power and authority. I think it's Luke chapter 9, verse 1. The Bible says Jesus called his disciples to him and gave them authority and power to cast out devils, to heal the sick, and to preach the word. I want to encourage you today, do not depend on man to do what God has called you to do. Do not look to man for something God said, I've given you the power to do that. He said, don't send them away. They do not need to leave. He said, feed them. Jesus commanded the disciples to give them food. It may not. What Jesus knew is, he knew the disciples didn't have it in their hand, but he knew there was a little boy that had just enough. That if he were to turn that loose into Jesus' hands, that Jesus could multiply a little and enough to feed 5,000 men and their families. You need to be reminded tonight, it may not be in your possession, but you have access to it. It might not be in your hand, but it is in your house. Jesus knew what was already there, and Jesus knew what he was about to do. That's why he said they don't need to leave. That's why he said you can feed them, right? Why? Because Jesus knew there's a little boy, one out of 20,000. It is your job, disciples, to go and find what I know is here. I made sure that that boy's mama packed him a lunch, and he follows his friends and family all the way out here. I want to encourage you tonight, church. You might not be able to see it on March 2nd, but it's in your life. You might not be able to hold it on this Wednesday night, but it is in your life. It is your job and my job to take inventory and say, God, if you said it's here, I will look until I find it. And when I do find it, I'll put it in your hands to multiply it. So it's amazing. Jesus says, go find it. And guess what they find? A little boy with two fish and five loaves. Jesus said, bring them, not him. Bring them, bring the fish and the loaves to me. Hand over what you have. And then have faith in God for what you don't have. Verse 19, new material. Here we go. And Jesus commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass. Jesus commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass. There is 20,000 people. Every one of these accounts in God's word mentions the number 5,000 and their family. It is amazing to me that there are hungry people, demons have been cast out, creative miracles have been done out in the middle of the wilderness. Jesus has been dropping truth and teaching and preaching all day long, but somewhere along the line, the disciples that wrote these gospels counted every man in the crowd. When did they count the men? When Jesus said, get everybody in order. Because I'm not multiplying anything until there's order in the wilderness. Some of us have used wilderness as an excuse for our lives to be in disarray. Some of us have used wilderness as an excuse for our lives to be out of order. And we love to say things like this, God can't bless a mess. No, God can, he won't. Jesus is standing there. He now has the two fish and five loaves of bread in his hand. It is now in his possession. And Jesus said, here's what I need you to do. Take these 5,000 men and their families, and I need you to go around and put them in groups of 50. That takes a lot of time. It's 100 groups. They're hungry, which means they're hangry. Y'all know what I mean. And now you got these disciples. They've just seen crooked limbs straight, blinded eyes open, demon-possessed people have all sorts of deliverance happen, and now the disciples are saying, hey, if you want to eat, we need you to sit down, and we need your family over here and your family over here, and Philip's over there counting 1, 2, 3, and all they knew is they had 100 groups of 50. You say, why is that important? Because they are bringing order to chaos. Don't you know that when Jesus was healing people, people were pushing people out of the way so that they could have their moment with Jesus? Don't you know that when demons were being cast out, there was a lot of noise and screaming and cheering and all of those things, and now we come to a time where Jesus says, as long as they're acting like that, we'll never be able to feed them. So what does that mean, Pastor? God cannot multiply in your life until you order your life, until you get things in order. You're living a messy life, and God will not bless a mess. You're living messy, and you say, what does that mean? It means whatever you want it to mean. I'm not talking about you sleeping around. Maybe I am. Maybe I'm talking about just you're not a good steward of what God has given you. You're waiting on God, and God is standing there with every ingredient he needs to multiply in your life. And God's just saying, now, Brandon, I'm going to blow your mind with this miracle, but I need to see you in the next few moments get your life in order, take inventory, sit yourself down so I can do what I'm going to do. And before God can stand up in your life, sometimes you're going to have to take a seat, sit down and say, God, I'm here. I'm doing what you want me to do. I'm bringing order in the chaos. I have a lot of nieces and nephews. If you're watching, I apologize because I'm about to preach about you. Anywhere where they are all together, I don't show up. It's too loud. It's too crazy. Manners aren't used. People are pushing to get to the food. And in my mind, hey, let grandmoms and moms eat first. There's a kid's table, and you should be at the back of the line. But there's a lot of mayhem. There's a lot of chaos. And I don't like all that chaos. I like things quiet. I like things orderly. I like people getting in line and doing what they should do. And God was saying the same thing because Jesus said, all of these 20,000 people want the same thing, but I'm not going to give them what they need or what they want until I see some order in their life. That's why when the Bible says, it says to do everything, let all things be done decently and in order. God will not bless a mess. Jesus said, before I multiply anything, get organized. Then Jesus took the fish and the bread in his hands. If you're going to experience multiplication, you must fully relinquish all that you have in the hands of Jesus. If you don't remember anything I say, I want you to remember the next sentence I say. As long as you control it, Jesus can't multiply it. As long as you control it, Jesus can't multiply it. Mom, pray for your son. Pray for your daughter, but get out of the way. Dad, I know what you're trying to do, but you need to put it in God's hand and you need to get out of the way. Some of us are asking God to steer the car and we're still sitting in the driver's seat and God's saying, I'm not going to be able to do what you need me to do or want me to do until you totally relinquish control of it. That's what submission is. That's why it blesses me when I see men and women in worship with both hands uplifted. That's why it blesses me when I see people hit their knees and tears streaming down their face. Why? Because that is a sign on the outside of what is going on the inside. God, I've tried for too long to do it my way, but God, I'm going to place it all in your hands, and God, please don't give it back to me until you have blessed it, until you have multiplied it, until you have fixed it, until you have healed it, until you have solved the dilemma that I gave you. Jesus doesn't mind broken pieces as long as you give him all the pieces. He doesn't mind that you handed him something broken that when he gave it to you was whole. He just needs all the pieces. One of the things, this will probably shock you about me because I'm an intense person. One of my favorite hobbies in the world is puzzle making. And I only do it with my mom and my older brother. Every Christmas, every Thanksgiving, I will sit there for 6 hours. And we'll put together those 2,000-piece puzzles, 3,000-piece puzzles. I mean, they're big old puzzles. And we always have a good time doing it. We're thinking, we're talking, we're laughing. But Bishop and Pastor Becky moved houses between last Christmas and this Christmas. And one of the puzzles we didn't know, 2,000-piece, was missing some pieces. You'll never be able, check this out, to make the puzzle look like the picture. See, because when you're standing at Walmart or you're choosing your puzzle on Amazon, you're looking at the picture. You choose puzzles based on what it's supposed to look like. And then you get those pieces and you start putting them together, 1,000, 500, 2,500, and you are putting them together based on what it's supposed to look like. Some of us are putting pieces of life together, and we come to church or in our private time and devotion with God, we are saying, God, here's the pieces of my life. I want it to look like the vision you said it was going to look like. And God is saying, I'm sorry, it's never going to look like that unless you give me every piece. I need, if it's 5,000 pieces, I need all 5,000. Why? Because you're going to be disappointed in what you're able to put together if you don't have all of it. And I'm here to tell you, either give God all or don't give him any. I've heard young people, I've been around young people now for 18 years. I've heard young people say, oh, I want God involved. I want God to give me a scholarship. I want God to give me a good job, man. I want to be a millionaire. But there's no way I let God tell me who to date. You think that God's going to pick wrong? God knows you better than you. God knows the end from the beginning. He knows what you need. He knows how he created her, or how he created him. He knows what's ahead of your life 15 years down the road. I am here to tell you, until you give him the 2 fishes and 5 loaves, not 4 loaves and 1 fish, not half a fish, not saying, well, God, you're going to multiply it anyway. God said, I need you to let it all go. Because when you let it all go, it's a sign of faith. It's a sign of trust. It's a sign of obedience that, God, I'll turn it loose for a moment, because I know you'll multiply it and bring it all back to me. Jesus took it. As long as you control it, he can't multiply it. Jesus did 4 things to produce multiplication. 4 things to produce multiplication. The number one thing he did, when you go up and you read the verse that we just read, verse 19, it says that Jesus took the loaves and the 2 fishes and he looked up to heaven. He's all God, and he's all man. The all God part is about to multiply it. The all man part was looking to heaven saying, I know where my source is. I know that what I'm about to do is going to take a miracle. I know that what I'm holding in my hands won't feed the 12 disciples I have. It was a lunch for a little boy. So he looks to the heaven. I want to encourage you, if you are expecting multiplication tonight, you cannot look to any other person but Jesus to do what only Jesus can do. You say, well, I don't know. I'm on work over here and I'm going to do this. If Jesus, all God but all men, look to the heaven to say, hey, what I'm about to do, I'm going to need some miracle working power, then you and I need to look to God every day of our lives when we are looking at a deficit, when we are looking at not enough or not enough to get what God has called us to do done. We've got to look to heaven. He was confident of his source. The second thing he did, the Bible said he blessed it. Isn't it amazing that Jesus is praying over food? He blessed it. He made a declaration over it. I wish that prayer had been penned. I wish we knew exactly what he prayed so we could pray that exact prayer like we do the Lord's Prayer in time of need when we don't have enough. But Jesus blessed it. Here it is. Here's the third thing. And then he broke it. This is where I think you're going to be encouraged tonight, but you're going to have to press through some certain kind of feeling before you can get to it. The blessing was not just in his words. The blessing was in the breaking. A lot of us don't want to be broken, but we want to be blessed. But the blessing of what Jesus was doing to bring about multiplication came in the breaking process. A lot of us want God to do the miracle, but we don't want to be made uncomfortable. But I am here to tell you that God has never broken me where he's left me broken overnight. Anytime that God breaks me, he puts me back together in that moment better than I have ever been. Anytime that God has made me uncomfortable, he has stretched me. He has increased my capacity of reception. He has increased my faith. He has increased my love. He has increased my desire. If you want God to multiply, you are going to have to become comfortable in the season saying, God, I know you just blessed it, but I know the next part is the part that's uncomfortable. But God, if you break it right now, I know you're breaking it off of me. You're breaking it into me. You're breaking it for me. And in the breaking comes the blessing. Breaking comes the blessing. Check this out. The miracle didn't happen when he blessed it. The miracle happened when he broke it. Your miracle is not just going to happen when you say, God, bless me. God's saying, is it all right if I break you to bless you? Why? Because I need what's on the inside. What's on the inside of you needs to come out. And see, when you're full of the Holy Ghost,
in the breaking seasons, that spirit flows. When you're anointed, the breaking season, the fresh oil flows. And I'm all right with the breaking because I know it's a part of the blessing.
He didn't say, all right, everybody look up. God, right now we bless this. Multiply it so we can feed these 20,000. And when they look back down, there was now 5,000 fish in 10,000 loaves. That's not how it happened. So I don't really know how it happened, but in my mind, this is how it happened. The little boy brings him the fish and the loaves, and it's in some sort of basket. It's in some sort of lunch pail, and he brings it to Jesus. And I think Jesus just keeps reaching in. You think the bottomless fries at Red Robin are good. You know how long it takes? It takes an hour to feed your family at 10 at Sausalito's. He's feeding 20,000 people. As fast as he can reach in, he's multiplying it. Don't you know that James and John and Peter, they keep making multiple trips and on their way to deliver it to the groups of 50. Don't you know they're saying, now I know when we handed him there was only 2 fish and 5 loaves. I know that basket is only about this deep. What, man, next time you go, get a better look. And when they looked in there, I still think there was only 2 fish and 5 loaves. But with God's hand was in it, it just kept multiplying. Can I encourage you, church? You don't need the preacher's hand. You need God's hand. You don't need the government's hand. You need God's hand. You don't need your in-law's hand. You need God's hand. It's the hand. As long as he keeps reaching. I love this. And I'm out of time, but I love this. Jesus never in the scripture said, all right, that's enough. As long as the disciples kept walking up to him saying, Jesus, we still got 8 groups of 50 over on this side. And Philip comes up, Jesus, we still got 30 groups over. Jesus just said, as long as you keep coming, I'll keep multiplying. As long as you keep coming. You say, what does that mean to me, Pastor? Oh, you better pray every day. As long as you keep coming, you better worship every day. Why? As long as you keep coming, God's hand's going to move. God's hand's going to work. As long as you keep coming Wednesday nights, God's hand is moving. As long as you keep serving Sunday morning, God's hands. Every choir practice, every time you showed up early, every time you served when you didn't want to, what were you doing? You were coming to God saying, God, as long as I show up, I know your hand's moving. As long as I show up, I know you'll keep working. I'm not going to stop until everybody gets their fill. And there's leftovers. Pastor Becky, if you'll come. Let me go through this real quick. He looked to the heaven, knew the source. Number one, he blessed it, he broke it, and then he gave it to the disciples. Here's some revelation. Jesus didn't feed 5,000. The disciples did. Jesus performed the miracle, and then he said, all right, now you manage the miracle. You deliver the miracle. You say, what does that mean for us in Living Way? Jesus is still in the miracle working business, but we are the disciples. We are to carry what God is doing. We are to carry what Jesus is doing. You've got sick people at your job. You've got people that are going through poverty at your job. You've got all kinds of things around you. And Jesus is saying, hey, on Wednesday night, I handed you something. I performed the miracle. I encouraged you. I inspired you. I made a way where there was no way. Now on Thursday, when you show up at your job, give some of that to your coworkers. When you show up tonight, give some of that to your kids. Give some of that to your spouse. Give some of that to someone else. Turn to your neighbor and tell them it's not just about me. The disciples fed the 5,000. Jesus produced it. The disciples delivered it. Here's another one. This is for the Wednesday night crowd. I wouldn't preach this point on a Sunday morning. 20,000 people eat. Guess who eats last? The disciples. Are you willing to eat last? If he multiplies it? Now, I can't prove this, but I want to say the first person who ate was the boy with the fish and loaves. I think he's the first one who ate. Then in my mind, I'd like to think that the mothers of Zion ate. The elders ate. But I'm pretty confident that the last people who ate were the disciples. Because don't you know that would have been part of the story. Jesus said, Peter, get your hand out of the basket. Are you willing to say, God, you'll multiply it, I'll deliver it. I don't mind eating last if I get to serve everybody else. And I know, God, that you're not going to leave me hanging. I know, God, if I work all day feeding, I know that I'm not going home hungry. Check this out. The disciples couldn't eat first. They had to eat last because if the disciples had eaten first, who knows what would have been left over for everyone else. So Jesus said, let's feed everyone. Make sure that little boy gets his. Make sure he gets his, but you're going to eat last, James, John, but it's all right. You're going to eat as much as you want. And guess what? It's not going to be cold. It's not going to be old. It's not going to be rubbery tasting. It's going to be the freshest of all. Some of us, we want it now. And God's saying, turn it loose. Let me do what I do. Let's bless a nation. Let's bless a city. Let's bless a family. Are you willing to let God meet other needs first? I'm done with this. Verse 20. And they did all eat and were filled. This is our main scripture. They took up the fragments that remained 12 baskets full. Most preachers who have ever preached this said every disciple got to go home with a basket. That is just a conclusion they jumped to because there's 12 disciples and 12 baskets. But if I know God like I know God, there was only one person going home with those 12 baskets. It was that little boy. Who we don't know his name, but we know his faith. We don't know his story, but for one moment in time, he said, Jesus, I'll give you whatever I have. I relinquish control. Now do what only you can do. I believe that those 12 disciples carried that at least to the edge of the wilderness. A little boy. And you say, well, you really don't think the disciples went? I don't, because right after this story, Jesus puts the disciples in a boat. And he says, go to the other side. And Jesus removes himself to pray. This is where Jesus would walk on water to them. And in Mark's account, John said that after all, Peter sinks, he walks on water, Jesus steps onto the boat, he says, you have no faith, fear not. All of these things, the Bible said the disciples' hearts were hardened because they did not consider the miracle of the loaf. If they had taken the baskets, they would have been on the boat, they would have remembered. But here they are, an hour, 2 hours later, and they've already forgotten. Here's the last and final point that God gave me sitting on that front row during the last worship song. Sometimes God doesn't put something in our hand because he knows it'll affect our heart. And there's a lot of us that are praying for things that God says, nope, I'm not giving you. I know you like all those extra baskets, James, John, Peter, Philip, but I'm going to send them home with the boy. Why? Because he's got a childlike faith. This is a story that he's going to pull from the rest of his life. But if I put something in your hand, come on now, it's going to mess with your heart. And when he fed them, and here they are a few hours later. I want to encourage you, pray prayers of faith, but pray God prayers. Pray will prayers. Pray spirit prayers. Pray where you don't really have all the answers. You're just leaning into Jesus. Why? Because Jesus knows what you need, what you want. He knows your desires, but he knows what you're capable of carrying without it messing up your heart. Stand on your feet. God, I don't want anything in my hand if it's going to mess my heart. God, I don't want stuff if it's going to mess up my spirit. God, I don't want a lot of money if it's going to mess up my ministry. God, you know, just like with those disciples, I don't want to be so faith-filled and handing out all of the miracle that you've given me, only for a few hours later to be crying begging for life because we're going to die on the ocean. God, I know what you're capable of, God, and I want you to do something significant in this house tonight. God, as we open these altars, I want somebody to meet you, Jesus, that doesn't know you. I want somebody to put you first, God, in their life, God, that has wandered away, God. But Lord, I want a multiplied spirit in this house. Whatever they give, God, you're going to take it. You're going to multiply it. You're going to bring it back. If you need God to multiply anything in your life, I'm going to encourage you to come.